Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. As I go through history and I study stuff, I also sit and ponder many, many things. And I actually find myself pondering deeper things than I expected, believe it or not. One of the questions that I've been asking myself for a couple of years now is, what are whites like in a whites-only society? And that may sound like a very strange question to ask, but the more I look at Western civilization, the more I think that there's a little bit more to this than meets the eye, that the presence of Jews in the background is much more prevalent and yet much more subtle than people realize. Take, for example, some of these Jews in recent times suddenly talking about Western civilization as being Judeo-Christian. Where the hell did the Judeo come from? I don't think Christians put it in there. I think that white Christians always thought of Western society as being Christian, but you'll hear this term Judeo-Christian, and I'll bet you Jews slip that one in, like they slip many things in. And I'm starting to ask myself all kinds of weird questions that I'd never thought of before, that the more I look at how these people behave and the things that have gone on in our civilization, I actually think that there are things that, despite the things that we've noticed, I think that there are lots of things that we don't notice. One thing that I've discussed in the past, and which I think quite a lot of people don't really believe me when I talk about it, is the notion that there is a glass ceiling. And what do I mean by a glass ceiling? A glass ceiling is a term that means that you can move upwards in life, you can be promoted, you can go upwards in life, but unbeknown to you, there is a glass ceiling. And while you may look upwards and think that you can go further upwards, you actually cannot. That without you realizing it, someone can stop you from moving upwards in life. And the more I think about this, and the more I think about discussions that I had with people, the more I want to tell you that the glass ceiling is real and it exists everywhere. And I find myself starting to say to myself that, you know, is Western democracy even real? How real is Western democracy? How much freedom do whites really have? Because especially when I look at the Germans and Hitler, then I say to myself, but look at those whites. Those whites were free. They were truly free. They were truly free of Jews. They were driving Jews out of their society, pushing them back. The Germans were taking control of their society. And look at the decisions that they made and the direction they went. They went down a racist direction. And if you look at the Spanish, when the Spanish tossed the Jews out 500 years ago, Spanish also went on quite a militant kind of path. The Spanish are really interesting, and I need to get to them one day, and we talk about them. But the thing that comes to mind is that I look at these societies of whites when they've tossed Jews out, or are in the process of tossing them out, like Hitler. And Hitler didn't gas them, he didn't kill them, he actually mostly just tried to keep them operating within the bounds of law and order. There were Jews who left Germany, because there weren't that many there to begin with. There were only 500,000, and they left Germany of their own accord. And sadly, big bunches of them came to South Africa, where they came and really caused trouble for the local whites. Most went to America, where they are now tearing America apart. And when I look at whites who end up doing certain things, and I even look at South Africa and Rhodesia and various things the whites have done, I'm starting to ask myself the question of, what is a whites-only society really like? What is the natural temperament of whites, actually? What are we really like as a people if we are truly left on our own? Because I'm becoming more and more convinced that there are lots of times that we think we're alone and that we are living in a whites-only society, but hidden in that society are Jews. But there are times when you can see clearly, like in the case of Germany and Spain, you can see this is really what whites are like when the Jewish influence has been smashed out of the way. But let me tell you a glass ceiling story, which is worth telling. I think I've mentioned it before, but about 2 years ago, I was at a meeting where some Boers came together and they were meeting to try and see if they could do some things together. And some of them were Christians and some of them were non-Christians. And it was actually quite interesting to see them working together and agreeing to disagree, but not let the disagreement get in their way. And although the meeting was rather boring and didn't really go anywhere, and some people talked too much, there were a couple of things that were said that day that were interesting. There was one man that I met there, and that man was an engineer, and he had his own engineering business. And he told the story of how he'd worked for a very wealthy Jewish mining company here in South Africa in the 1970s, I think it was. And he told me that he was doing really great. He was moving up through the corporate structure. And he said to me, at a point, one of these top people came to him and basically offered him something. I can't remember what he said he was offered, but basically he was offered something that would take him to the next level. And it was sort of an offer that you can't refuse. But he said to me that they said to him he can have anything, including women. He said to me they offered him basically everything, but he had to work within certain parameters. I can't remember what the issues were. And when they made this offer to him, there were things that he didn't like, things that did not sit well with his own morals and his own views on life, and he rejected it. He said that he was probably the only guy who rejected the offer. And the offer was like money, women, you name it, man. You name it, you can have anything the hell you want. And then he told me that after he rejected that offer, that's it. That's where your career no longer moves upwards. And he'd hit his glass ceiling. And I'm telling you, the glass ceiling is there. And it's everywhere. And it's subtle. In some places it's more subtle, and in other places it's not so subtle. He's a guy who realized he hit his glass ceiling. But I'm convinced that there are lots and lots of people who are filtered out long before then. When they see that you're a certain type of person, you will not be going upwards. But we'll return to topics like these. But as we go deeper down this rabbit hole, as we enter this rabbit hole that finally leads down in twisting and turning ways, and it leads to Jewry, I'm starting to think a lot that by no means have we reached the end of the rabbit hole. That the rabbit hole is much more complex than you realize, and that there are other deeper things going on. And I notice too, with people who focus on the crimes of the Jews, they say, oh, the Jews were lying about the Holocaust, the Jews lied about the Holocaust, and, you know, that's the main crime of the Jews. And then you'll get some, oh, the Jews were behind communism, Bolshevism, the overthrow of the Tsar of Russia, that's the crime of the Jews. And then we'll say the Jews are liars, the Jews hide the truth, and that's the crime of the Jews. But the more I look at these things, and the more I think about the Jews that I knew, and how Jews reacted when I spoke to them, and the things that I observed about these people, I must tell you that there's more to Jews than the crimes that we point them to. Jews are much more flexible than we realize. And I think that they are powerful. They do not control everything. They definitely do not control everything. But they are powerful and they're weird. And their weirdness catches us off guard. So I will return to some of these topics again. But I don't think Jews are invincible. Jews have been beaten and they can be beaten again. But they get harder to beat each time because they dig in deeper and they expand their power base and they have more and more tricks up their sleeves. And these people can move in many different directions. They are not limited to just one direction or one crime. They can commit a crime, let's say, on the left-hand side. And then, because they are constantly committing crimes on the left-hand side, you begin to think, well, that's the only side that Jews can commit a crime on. But I'll tell you, the Jews can commit crimes on the left, the right, forwards, backwards, at this angle, at that angle. There are lots of things Jews can do. And I don't think people realize how far these people can go. So today I want to discuss a little bit about the concept of betrayal, because I think that there's a lot more to the games these people play than you realize. So let's start with the Jewish art of lying, which I've discussed before. So the Jews can tell a lie. And then you've seen people say that, well, eventually all the lies will just come crashing down. And there's even Dr. Goebbels who said that eventually the lies will come crashing down. And I like Dr. Goebbels, and I think he was very insightful. But you know something? As I watch many things, I start asking myself the question about all these Jewish scams. And I'm not seeing them all come crashing down. I'm saying to myself, but hold on, that lie, that scam should have come to an end. Take, for example, the Holo hoax. And look at how much damage we've done to the Holo hoax and how more and more people have started to realize that this thing is junk. And there have been surveys, I think in Holland, in the Netherlands, they did a survey of young people, and I think something like a quarter of them didn't believe in the Holo hoax, something like that. So we've made great headway, fantastic headway. We've gone from zero to, let's say, 25%. But the hoax is still alive, and the Jews are constantly pushing the hoax and aggressively keeping it alive. And the more I look at a lot of these scams and lies, I'm saying to myself, you know, Jews have the ability to keep the scam alive. So they start a lie, and we think that just by talking about the lie, that alone is going to destroy the lie. But the Jews actually aggressively keep the lie alive. Not only that, but they can make the lie mutate. Take, for example, the blacks and the low IQ of the blacks. The blacks are as dumb as planks, and it should be obvious to anyone with a brain. But notice how the blacks move up in society. Notice how the Jews see to it that the blacks are successful, blacks are rich. And if you look around, you'll see that the black scam, the scam of black success and black ability, is alive and well. It's very much alive and well. In fact, it's so alive and well that you'll see that even attractive young women start beginning to believe that blacks are real men, that blacks are strong and manly, when in fact they are foolish, and if caught correctly, they'll run faster than a rabbit to get away from a white man. If a white man corners those blacks properly, you'll see those blacks running like rabbits can't run. They'll run so fast that they'll trample each other to death. The notion that blacks are manly and strong and that kind of thing, that's pure bullshit. Pure bullshit, as proven in battle over and over again. But there are women out there, white women, who are fooled by these things. And there are even white women who've married these blacks, despite them being dysfunctional and everything. Because the perception has been created that the black man is more manly than the white man, which is something that irks the hell out of me, I must tell you. It's not true. But I look at all the various Jewish scams, whether it is the Hollow hoax, the lies about the Germans and Hitler, many other things that, yes, we make good progress and we've made great progress in the face of lots of harassment and vicious, nasty moves by the Jews. But I must tell you, it is quite astounding how the Jews manage to mutate the lie and keep the lie alive. They give the lie new life by inventing additional things, additional excuses that fool liberals and fool other whites. And people are not noticing that the lie is kept alive, that just telling the truth alone is not enough. Telling the truth alone convinces lots of whites, and it's starting to rot away the lie. But you know, the lie must be attacked much more aggressively, it seems to me. And all the lies have to be fought more aggressively. And people think that if they just come and they just say, oh, well, you see, do you see here, the Jews lied about Anne Frank, okay? Anne Frank, here's the proof that the whole Anne Frank story is a bunch of crap, okay? Bunch of crap invented by a Jew. And then people say it, and then people forget about it, and they think that the matter is now settled. And if you watch, you'll see the Jews carry on pushing the lie, and the lie continues. They will aggressively carry on pushing the lie, reviving the lie, giving the lie new life. And what they'll do as well is, let's say the older generation has figured out it's a lie. Then the Jews just go to the younger generation and start the lie anew and fool them. So what you're busy with is a constant war. And that constant war has to be fought aggressively all the time. Because if you don't, you'll discover that the lie comes back again. Look at the things that Jews do, and mark my words, these people are keeping their lies alive. But I want to take you a little bit further, where there are also good things that I've spotted. And I want to tell you a conclusion that I've started reaching about all these lies and the bullshit. Jews have managed to thoroughly, thoroughly fool whites into liberalism and leftism. They have thoroughly, thoroughly fooled them. They've made them believe that blacks are equal. They've made them believe all kinds of crap. They've made them believe that if you're a racialist, that you're a dunce, that you're as dumb as a plank, okay? It is wrong when I say that they've fooled white liberals. I should really be saying that they have fooled whites into becoming liberals. They've fooled them into liberalism and fooled them into keeping them liberal. And the same with whites who are leftists. But there is some light at the end of the tunnel. And this is a thing that I've been thinking about in recent times, is that regardless of whether whites are leftists and regardless of whether whites are liberals and regardless of whether whites are right-wing or racialist, there's one thing that whites have in common, that all whites have in common, and that is that whites search for the truth. And so when whites are racialists, whites are convinced that whites have the truth. But when whites are liberals, those same whites are convinced that liberalism is the truth. And if whites are commies, then whites are convinced that communism is the truth. But since liberalism is the majority, I want to focus on liberalism. So there are lots and lots of whites who've been fooled into thinking liberalism is reality. And those whites truly believe that liberalism is the be-all and the end-all, and that all the facts of liberalism are correct. And among those quotes, facts are, blacks are equal to us, and white racialists are as dumb as planks, but we know that it's the opposite way around. So the good news is this. The good news is that as we enter more and more of this clown world, and also we are entering a very fascinating time that I've been waiting for a long time, and it is that we are reaching the point where a lot of what was liberal and it seemed to be consistent is actually not consistent, and you are starting to see the rampant, arrant hypocrisies of liberalism. So now liberalism is starting to look weird. It's not a consistent story. And if you actually compare the whites' experiences in Africa with the whites' experiences in America, you'll see that Jews and liberals are doing opposite things in two parts of the world. So, for example, in Africa, the Jews and liberals are pushing for majority rights for the blacks. And then in America, they're pushing for minority rights for the blacks. So in Africa, majority rights is excellent and cool, and to hell with minority rights. The minority is whites, to hell with them. But in America, the majority is not black, the majority is white. And so you'll see in America, the push is, to hell with the majority. To hell with the white majority. What's really important is the minorities. Oh, we've got to look after the black minority. They are being treated badly. But, the elephant in the freaking room is that in Africa, it's whites that are clobbered. In America, it's whites that are clobbered. There's the elephant in the room, that liberals are always against whites. That Jews are always against whites. There's your elephant in the room. It's just that in Africa they've got to use one line which is completely the opposite of the line that's used in America. And if you dig more and more, into our history and you watch the lies of the Jews and the liberals in America versus the lies of the Jews and the liberals in Africa, you'll see it's all diametrically opposite. So they're telling you the exact opposite in order to get the same effect that benefits blacks and always is against whites. But some of this stuff is so convoluted now, and it's becoming so weird due to polarity, polarization, and wokeism, and so forth, that even inside America, what seemed to be a consistent liberal line is itself breaking down. And I think the good news is that as the Jews are trying to keep all the lies and scams going, there is a point now where they are actually clashing even in the same society. There are too many things that they are saying that it is now actually starting to break down. In a place like America, where they could consistently lie in a certain way without the whites noticing that it's a lie, that nowadays it's becoming so clear that this stuff is bullshit. So, for example, the whites in America have been told, the blacks are like this because you didn't treat them properly and they were slaves and everything, and you needed to give them opportunities and you had to make them equal, and they are equal, and then eventually the blacks aren't really equal, so you've got to give them more opportunities. But even when you give them opportunities, they still can't do the job, so then you've got to go to equity or whatever the rubbish is called, and you've got to give them the job even though they can't do the job. And they are doing all these things, and then after all of that, and these blacks have finally managed to get into a certain position, then you eventually see that, the blacks are incompetent, the blacks are thieves, and just look at how the blacks are behaving. They're freaking violent, even though nobody's violent to them, and they are out of control, and they're just getting wilder and wilder. And so you start getting certain people like that guy who does the Dilbert comics, where he said, he used to buy into that sort of thing. But eventually he started to realize that, as liberal as he is, that these blacks, they actually want to kill whites, and they're actually nasty. And so eventually, even for him, eventually the lies are becoming clear, even though he's still only looking within American society only. If he had knowledge of what had gone on in Africa, he would have seen even more, and he would have been red-pilled quicker. And that's why it's so important for whites in America and Europe to study what happened in Africa. Because I can tell you that if you really study what whites and blacks have done in Africa, you'll be walking around with 100 times more arguments with which to tear down Jews and liberals. You'll be able to tear them to pieces in very short order, I must tell you. But here's the point I'm getting to, is that I think that when I look at Jews and how Jews defend themselves, and Jews as a parasite, and how the parasite embeds itself, and the parasite has to stay alive in the system. The parasite's ability to stay alive, the Jewish parasite's ability to stay inside the system and remain functioning inside the system, it has got a number of options. One of those options is to keep the scam alive. So when the scam starts falling apart, like liberalism, and it starts being exposed and you start seeing the holes in all the various things, so the one option for Jews is to run around and plug the holes. They plug the holes, and they plug this hole and that hole. And so if somebody finds out the truth about Anne Frank, then the Jews will come and tell a new lie to try and cover that hole that's been plugged. And so it carries on. And they constantly are busy generating additional lies to plug the existing lies so that they can keep their junk house of cards going. But I do think that if things really get bad enough, and this scam eventually does start falling apart, and enough liberals and whites who are liberals start seeing this thing for what it is, that the Jews have got other maneuvers that they'll engage in. And this is where I'm getting to this concept of levels of betrayal. You know, Hitler said that Jews can create enormous lies. They aren't shy. That when these people lie, they lie on a gigantic scale. And they clearly have lots of aggressive means to try and keep the gigantic lie alive and to keep the scams going. Because the Jews are profiting. They are physically profiting out of the lies. They profit out of the gigantic lies. The lie is like a field. Imagine a cow. A cow needs to go into the field to eat grass. Jews are like a cow that needs grass, okay? But they need to plant that field, and the grass has to grow, and then they can eat and feed off that grass. So Jews create an enormous lie, an enormous scam, and that scam feeds money to them. It feeds money and power and status and all kinds of things come to them through the gigantic scam. But the scam is a scam, and whites will continuously start pointing out the truths, etc. But Jews have obviously learned how to aggressively crush the truth as much as possible. And so they have got methods and techniques for keeping the scam alive. And the longer they can keep the scam alive, the longer they can profit off it. So they run around like somebody who's plugging all these holes. As these holes come in their scam, they aggressively plug the holes because by keeping it alive, they are still benefiting out of it. But what happens if the scam eventually truly does collapse? I think that Jews will dump the people that they've bullshitted, that if the people that they've bullshitted finally realize that it's all bullshit, the Jews in and of themselves will dump those people and invent a new scam. And they'll go and find new people to fool with the new scam. So in other words, what I'm saying is that at a point when liberalism eventually collapses, when whites aggressively enough smash liberalism down and just bring out the data more and more, and we fight it at every level, because you'll have to fight it everywhere. The notion that Jews are just going to turn around and one day the New York Times is going to say, oh, well, this was the truth all along. Racism is the truth, and, you know, that kind of thing. That's never going to happen. These people don't do that, okay? They're far too professional. They're far too practiced at this stuff. But what will happen is that when they find that most of the whites who used to believe in liberalism don't believe it anymore and abandon it, that the Jews themselves will abandon those who've abandoned their lie. And the Jews will toss them aside and find new people to fool. So this is what I mean by levels of betrayal, that the Jews are never at a loss for lies. There will always be new lies And when they see that their old lie can't work, they'll start figuring out the new scams, looking for new opportunities. They are always on the move. They will not remain in the place where their things have been shattered to pieces. They are nomadic and they need to move and they need to find new fools, new people that they can fool, and new bullshit to fool them with. And then they'll go and they'll park over there and they will fool those people. So don't think that there will ever be a time where Jews will admit any truth in any significant way. They know very well the usefulness of the lie. Their whole existence is built on it. And when one lie dies, they'll invent other lies. They are always going to be busy like that. For them, the lie is like oxygen, that they can only function when they have their oxygen, but they need to create it and they need to invent it, and then they're happy, and then they're busy scamming away and doing all the shit that they do and fooling people and conning people. These people are the gods of marketing, lying, bullshitting, manipulating people. They can manipulate humans in so many ways, and I'm going to come back to that. So the one thing that we must not expect is we must never expect that they'll come out and say, "Oh, it's the truth, and you were right all along, and we're sorry," and all. No. You don't understand this. There's none of that ever. They will never apologize. They will never really admit. If they do admit, they'll admit it for a day or two quickly and then forget about it and go back to lying. Lying is their thing and keeping their bullshit alive. They will tell the truth tactically for a day in order to get some other benefits. And then after that, they'll go back to lying because that's their thing. But keep in mind that Jews are not stagnant and that they're in motion. That they are always in motion and moving. Whereas whites can actually dig in and stick to one thing because we build on the truth. So for us, we build a foundation and then on top of the foundation, we start building walls. On top of the walls, we build a roof. For Jews, it's not the same. For Jews, they don't work like that. They have to start from scratch again because they don't have a foundation that's solid. So they need to start their bullshit from scratch. And they'll always be busy doing bullshit. And their creativity to invent bullshit is actually almost endless. I think that 1,000 years from now, Jews will still be bullshitting away. Their bullshit will just be more sophisticated, that's all. I think that there are lots of racial things that will never change. They will be consistent, whether it's today or whether it's 200 years from now. The same is true for the black-white stuff as well. Race is real and the patterns will remain consistent. But I want to describe to you another set of levels of betrayal. And in this set, this is something from South Africa. And this has to do with using whites to destroy whites and having the whites betray each other. And in there is a set of levels of betrayal where the whites are fooled in order to destroy other whites, and then the whites who destroyed the other whites are themselves destroyed because the lies and the bullshit keeps moving. And this is another way in which the liberals are themselves going to be destroyed. The liberals are used to destroy the whites in America, but the liberals can themselves be betrayed and destroyed as the Jews move to another level. What I'm trying to get to is that there's a lot more sophistication and a lot more of a long-term game that goes on, and that everything to do with these Jews, it appears like they are successful, but when they fail, things move, and they move, and the whole battle between whites and Jews is much more fluid, and they have been at it for so long that they will move things around because they have to keep in motion in order to avoid being destroyed themselves. They need to do two things. They need to hide and they need to move. And they move not only physically, but they also move mentally. So for them to stay in action, they need movement. Let me explain something from South Africa. So the whites of South Africa, the Boers in particular, are racists. And whites in Africa have known all along that the blacks are dumber. We know that there are lots of things the blacks can't do. We know that they're not on our level. But we use them even though we know that there are many unpleasant things that we don't like and there's also a threat that can come from them. But in South Africa, the creation of apartheid, which is something I approve of, and I see apartheid as a good thing. The creation of apartheid was a thing where the whites, who were mainly the Boers, they wanted to get away from liberalism yet again, because they always do. And they wanted to get away from Jan Smuts, General Jan Smuts, who was one of them, but who was too friendly to the British and the Jews. So apartheid was basically an offshoot. It had links back to Nazism and racialism. And apartheid was meant to bring the whites together, the Afrikaans and the English, to own South Africa, so that South Africa is controlled by whites. So apartheid starts off as anti-Semitic, and it starts off as racist. But it's not that anti-Semitic, and it doesn't do anything that harms the Jews, but it's more an attitude against the Jews, but it doesn't do anything legally against them that takes away their privileges. They are still regarded as having the same privileges as whites. But as the years go by, and many, many things happen, especially after the death of Verwoerd, which was orchestrated by Jewry. As the years go by, and I will return to some of these topics to give more specific instances, because I've done a bit of digging into people like Prime Minister Forster, who came after Verwoerd. And Forster actually wanted to befriend Jews. That's something I'll return to because I've got something to explain there. There was some interesting research I discovered regarding him. And as the years went by, and as the decades went by, the whites who were running the political party, the National Party, that was in charge of apartheid, they slowly become transformed more and more to becoming liberal. They edge more and more towards liberalism over time. But the common people, the Afrikaans people, the Boers, they are racists and they don't like the blacks. And so later you get an organization, the AWB, the Afrikaner Weerstandsbeweging, which is the Afrikaner resistance movement led by Eugene Terblanche. So you find that there's this grassroots hatred of blacks, and that there's somebody who taps into that, and that guy is Eugene Terblanche, and he gets a big following. And the AWB exists, but it's very racist. They aren't openly racist against the Jews, but there are people in there who do know about the Jews, but as a group, they don't openly just go and attack the Jews. They focus on the blacks. So you've got two structures of whites in South Africa. The one is the ruling party, which is becoming softer and more liberal. But at the grassroots, you've got the AWB, which is white, racist, and they want to fight the blacks. They want to get stuck into the blacks. And what you'll find is that as time went by, especially in the 1980s into the 1990s, when South Africa now slid downwards towards total disaster, that the people who were ruling the country were becoming more and more liberal, and they were seeing to it that the AWB doesn't get powerful enough to do anything meaningful. And sometimes there were offshoots from the National Party, when you had people like Andries Treurnicht, who was a Christian priest who created a conservative party. He broke away from them and he wanted to fight them. But you find that every time someone breaks away and becomes right wing, that the liberals, who are more powerful, are still able to destroy them or able to hamper them so that they don't become powerful enough. And so the Conservative Party tried to fight the National Party, but the National Party is always one step ahead. And so the Conservatives failed. And the same is true for the AWB. But even as the National Party is betraying and seeing to it that it uses its power to stop the right-wing whites from moving forward, they themselves are getting weaker and weaker. But the final move is when they hand over the country to the blacks. But during this time, there were people who broke away to form the Conservative Party. There were people who joined the AWB. The AWB's numbers increased. But at all times, the National Party saw to it that it hobbled the whites who were racist and the whites who were going to fight back the most. So by the time the whole country goes down, the last people to go down are the National Party themselves. And their final glorious move is to toss the country away to the blacks. But during this slide downhill, they saw to it that white revolution, white rebellion never succeeded. And that's kind of freaky. Of course, once they had given away the country, the National Party still existed, and then they actually must have realized that what they had done was a total disaster, and none of them even wanted to carry on running that political party. And so the whole thing imploded and they just shut it down. So the National Party betrayed all the other whites who were to the right, and in the end they themselves ended up with nothing, and they themselves were destroyed. But by then everything had been lost. So that's quite a nasty story, and it is possible that America could go down some kind of path like that, where the liberals and the left aggressively destroy and smash the whites continuously, like they're trying to do with the GOP, etc., and with the white right. And if they are not fought aggressively, it is possible that America itself could eventually get to the point of collapse, yet the liberals and the left may have kept themselves going to the very last. That's actually a very dark and nasty possibility. And of course, the only answer to that is that whites must take it seriously to fight back and to push back. Use every ounce of energy. Don't just assume that the lies will just collapse. We must all push with every ounce of effort that we have, because this thing may be more sophisticated than you realize, and this thing might just be able to carry on. So look, for example, take for example Trump. There's Trump. He was voted in. We hoped he would do great things. In many ways, he has actually been very positive. But look at how they knocked him out. And now they're trying to even prevent him from coming back. And it's pretty hectic what's going on. So my message is that whites must understand that there are levels of betrayal, and that Jews will use whites to destroy whites, and this group of whites will be used to destroy that group of whites, and the group of whites that's doing the destroying, they think they're winning. Meanwhile, they're losing. So keep these kinds of thoughts in your head and realize that we must never at any time be too relaxed about the future. We must push with everything we got, because this is a close-run thing. And one thing about these Jews is, I'm telling you now, they will never just sit back and let us win. For them, for the parasite, it needs to do certain things in order to live, and it's very aggressive in keeping its lie alive. The parasite doesn't care when South Africa is gone. The parasite doesn't care when America is gone, because the parasite will move somewhere else. So keep those things in mind, that there is a bit of a dark side to a lot of these things. The positive side is that all of these whites who are liberals, who themselves were crushing other whites, that eventually the time will come where they will realize that everything they believed was a lie, that they believed in bullshit, they advocated bullshit, and they destroyed other whites for the wrong reason. So that is the good side of it. But what it does mean is that this game can be a long game. This game could be quite a hectic game. But the most important thing is just realize that these games might be deeper than you think. So that's the main message I want to just get across in this video. But the one thing that I got to reiterate is that at all times, we must push and push back as hard as we can, and never relax. Don't imagine that victory just comes. These people fight against nature, they fight against reality, and they aggressively go for it. They are a crazy, lunatic people, but that is what works for them. And they fight nature and that which is natural. And they always have. They cannot face nature in the way that we can. We are the ones who are more natural. We function inside nature and inside reality. But this particular parasite has a way of messing with our perceptions. And ultimately, we are the ones that get hurt. It profits from it and it runs away and starts the whole process again. Hitler himself mentioned this cyclical thing. To break this cycle is going to require real tough people. Ultimately, when it comes to race, white people are going to have to learn really ugly lessons. Whether it is the Jews or the blacks, whites are going to have to learn ugly lessons. And whites are going to have to learn to become nastier than they've ever been in their existence. Truly, we are far too soft, and we're going to have to really harden ourselves up. But it's not impossible to beat these people. None of these people are impossible to beat. But you need to have willpower and determination. And these people can mess with your head. And they are masters of messing with people's heads. I did a video about the greatest thing that fools whites. And I called it the art of mismanagement. And some of that pertains to what I've explained to you here. Also, how Jews can change perceptions and they can take a scam that in theory shouldn't last long and they can make it last long and they can keep that scam alive. Ultimately, I will tell you, it's going to require whites who are absolutely determined and to don't ever retreat or give in or are nice in any way whatsoever. Whites will have to be firm and ruthless. Ultimately, that is the path we are going down. That it doesn't matter how long this thing takes, but the end game, victory for whites, will only come when whites are ruthless, utterly determined, and don't give an inch. When we become like that, when we become hard and nasty, that is the only time that we will eventually win. But prior to that, there's a lot of this sliding around. And that sliding around results in levels of betrayal. So just keep some of that in your mind. The end game for victory only comes when we are hard, firm, and nasty. White men are going to have to learn to be nastier than they've ever imagined. It's going to take minds of steel, a will of steel. We're going to have to be unbreakable mentally and physically. We're going to have to ultimately fight people. You'll see that there's no easy way out of this. This thing will become very ugly, but it's when it's at its ugliest, that's the time we'll start winning. So hang in there and don't get depressed. Though I don't think that this video was very positive, but I'm trying to explain something quite complex and weird that I think is there. So just ponder some of these things. I think there's a lot more depth to some of this Jew stuff than you realize. But they're not invincible. None of these people are invincible. They can all be defeated. Easy peasy. But it's going to require ruthless men. We're going to have to be ruthless. Ruthlessness is the path to victory. Absolute ruthlessness. Every way in which they've claimed we are, that is what we will have to be in order to win. So where they said, well, you discriminate against us, you were cruel to us, you tortured us, you killed us. You'll find that when we get to the end of the game, that's exactly what we will have to be doing one day. That all those ugly, ugly things that they claimed we were, which we weren't, you'll see that that's what we'll have to be in order to win. But hey, our race is tough, and we've survived all kinds of things. This is just a new lesson because we are dealing with new humans that we've allowed to get out of control. We have been too soft and we've allowed problems to grow in our midst. And these problems have been allowed to get worse and worse, like a cancer. So you leave the cancer and you treat the cancer a little bit here and a little bit there, but the cancer keeps coming back, the cancer gets worse until one day the cancer starts threatening your life. And we have done that with Jews and our racial enemies. We've been too soft, the medicine hasn't been tough enough, and we've left them to survive each time. We're gonna have to get really hard because it's becoming a life-threatening infection, and the next time we're gonna have to really smash this thing for once and for all, because if we don't, then we're the ones that go down. Think of it in those terms. Anyway, this is just some food for thought. Ponder it.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, thank the whites, you know you don't.